Yeah,
afternoon again, Bill. Curious to get your read on the competitiveness of your team, both this week, all season long in practice, and coming up to a big game like this, how you gauge the significance of that competitiveness during practice affecting the game.
Well, this team practices hard. They work hard. They've done that all year, all the way back to the spring OTAs, off-season program, training camp. So work ethic has just not been a problem with this group. They come to work. They practice hard. They compete well. We have, at times, drills in practice that are, you know, offense, defense, as opposed to going against the what the opponents do. Sometimes just go against each other, and those are good competitive drills. So I think the team does a good job there. I think it's helped them get better.
Hey, Bill. When you were asked about the Super Bowl with Steven and Brian on staff, you described it as being special, unlike any other. We've talked about Steven and his role as safeties coach. How would you describe Brian's contributions in his first year in his role?
He spent most of the year in scouting, and then as we've gotten to the end of the season here, as we were getting ready for multiple opponents in the playoffs, in the divisional round, in the divisional round, and then even for the championship, and then now in the Super Bowl, these games have come out kind of either multiple teams or we didn't have much, so we're a little bit scrambling. So we recruited him over to help us with that.
Bill, Rod Platter with WFAN and CBS Sports Radio. How gratifying and how difficult has it been for the offense to succeed without Rob Gronkowski?
Well, I mean, we have a good team. We have a lot of good players, and unfortunately, Rob hasn't been with us here for a few weeks, but if he was, nobody would be working harder than Rob. And Rob showed that, you know, in all other occasions in this type of environment. But we're a team, and we have a lot of good players, and whichever players are called on to step up and give their best, that's what they've done. And so we'll do that on Sunday too. There's, you know, unfortunately every team has that, goes through that with, you know, some of the players on their team, but that's football.
Last week, Thomas Dimitroff shared the story of how you had a discussion about Julio Jones prior to their trading up to select him and how you had given some advice on that. In talking with him earlier this week, it sounded like that advice wasn't necessarily an evaluation of the player alone without other considerations in part. Was it... Was your advice more about some of the other things that, you know, they could use the picks for, or was it just about the player alone?
No, I think I've said many times, I think Julio Jones is a tremendous player. You know, he does everything well, plus he brings an element of toughness to that position that I'd say is extremely high. So, you know, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he catches the ball well, he runs well after the catch, he blocks. You know, he's a very competitive, tough player. I have all the respect in the world for him. So, again, I don't see any point in going back over that conversation. It was a long time ago. It doesn't really have any application to what's going to happen on Sunday. But I have great respect for Julio Jones. And had a lot of conversations with Coach Saban about Julio. And nothing but positive things about the player, and from what I observe, the way he plays and the way he competes, this guy's one of the top players in the league.
Bill, a couple of days ago, when you were recounting your experiences accompanying your father as a scout, you talked about his ability to see everyone on the field at the same time and identify what everyone was doing in the whole picture. Curious how many players you've been around who can process the whole field and see it in a similar kind of way. And if Tom is one of those guys?
Sure, yeah, I would put him in that category. Yeah, I've been around, you know, a handful, decent number. Safeties, linebackers, quarterbacks, you know, guys that have a chance to really see the whole field. Or sometimes players that have only see part of the field. You know, guys like Taylor that line up on one side of it, but he knows what everybody around him is doing and could I mean, he was phenomenal in terms of his instinctiveness and what he saw and what he could tell you the plays were without even the ball being snapped. So, but yeah, Tom has great vision. Again, I've coached a number of safeties, Terry Kennard, Devin McCourty, you know, guys that have a great understanding of pretty much all 22 players, or certainly, you know, the ones that are most critical to them, the five eligible receivers and the run pass keys, or same thing with quarterbacks, you know, the coverages and maybe where the rush occurred or maybe got in their vision or things like that. So, yeah, those guys can see a lot of players.
Bill, Tara Sullivan from the Bergen Record in New Jersey. There's a perception around the league that players in New England get almost a fairer shot to make your roster based solely on performance rather than maybe salary number or draft status. Do you think that's a fair assessment? And if so, just curious how that is your philosophy, if it is your philosophy.
Yeah, it would be impossible for me to answer that question. You know, I only can observe one team. I don't see what the other 31 teams do. So that'd probably be a better question to ask somebody who has a better perspective than that. You know, people that travel to other training camps or see other teams and can compare them. The only team I can compare New England to is New England. Last team I was with was, you know, 17 years ago. So it really doesn't be hard for me to tell you what anybody else is doing. I just don't know. What's important to me is what the player does when he's with our team, not how he got there or whatever else there is. I mean, how can he help our team? That's really the bottom line.
Bill, Ty Law's going to find out tomorrow if he makes the Hall of Fame. I think most people agree that Mike Haynes is probably the greatest cornerback in Patriots history. Is Ty in Mike Haynes' category, in your opinion?
I don't think there are different players, but Mike was a pretty special player. And I'd say one similarity, though, would be probably both players could have played offensively because of their exceptional ball skills. Mike Haynes, you know, was a receiver, and they moved him, you know, because they had other great receivers. You know, Ty's ball skills were exceptional, and I'm sure he could have played on that side of the ball too, in terms of his. But he's built a little differently. He had a little different style of play, I would say, than Mike, but both very effective. And again, I think the turnovers, the interceptions are, you know, what makes those players so special. So, you know, they're game-changing plays. I mean, tackles and that's great, you know, pass breakups, I mean, that's great. You got to have those. But, you know, guys that have the kind of interception numbers that Ty had, you know, Everson Walls, when I coached Everson at New York and, you know, competed against him in Dallas, guys like that that, you know, were up in the 50s in the interceptions, I mean, those are game-changing plays. So, you know, hopefully Ty will be selected. I certainly think he's worthy of it. He had a great career. I enjoyed coaching Ty. I coached him in 96 as a position coach, where I was really able to get a lot closer and have more, you know, more of an intimate interaction with him than as a head coach. But both are good, and you know, Ty's been a good supporter of our team and our organization. And so we're all pulling for him.
Yeah, Phil, I know what Atlanta does scheme-wise is pretty different than what you guys do, but based on the fact that Thomas and Scott are there, can you see just marks of your program and the way they built their team?
Sure, yeah. I think there's an element in New England. There's certainly an element of Seattle. So, yeah, I'd say that's... Again, I'm not there, so I don't know exactly how it's presented or how it's done or whatever, but I'm sure that from talking to both Tom and Thomas and Scott that the processes are probably pretty similar. And again, look, you've seen us defensively, you know, transform from a 3-4 to a 4-3 to a nickel team, from a zone team to a man team, a cover 2 team to a cover 1 team, you know, so forth through the years. So it's not so much about what particular player you're looking for, I think, as the process of sorting through and selecting and bringing them into your program and building and indoctrinating the program or orienting the player into your program to get the most production out of them. So I'm sure there's a lot of carryover there. I would think, I mean, look, we all work together. You know, Thomas ran a scouting department. Scott ran a personnel department. I was the coach. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of things that we agreed on. And, you know, each team has its own individual characteristics. And the team we have now is different than the team we had 2 years ago. It's different than the team we had when they were there. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that the fundamental process is different. It probably isn't a whole lot different. But I think at the same time, you've always got to modify and keep trying to find a way to improve and get better. And I know we've done that. I'm sure they've done that, too.
Hey, Bill, right here in front. Bill Burt, CNHI Sports Boston. Slot receiver has been a position of strength, really, your entire time here with the Patriots, from Troy Brown, obviously, to Wes, and now Edelman, and you could argue Amendola. Can you talk about your thought process and the evolution of that position under you, or maybe is it more suited towards Tom, the offense, or is it a changing development, that position, because we seem to see more of those guys around the league?
Yeah, I'd say, Bill, it's a combination of both, probably. You know, that's always been, as you said, a strength in our program, certainly in terms of, number of catches, third down production, and Tom does extremely well. I mean, look, Tom, any good receiver, you know, he can use, whether the guy's inside, outside, whatever he does. So, and we usually find a way to, you know, try to help that player be as productive as possible in the strengths that he brings to the team. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, a system and a quarterback and the merge of the two and obviously having good players at that position. Danny's, you know, made some huge plays for us and helped us win, you know, a lot of critical games. Julian's production, Wes, Troy, I mean, those guys are, you know, been phenomenal in terms of their production in the years that we had them. So, and most of it was in that spot. I mean, not that there isn't some production on the outside, but by far the majority of it was in that spot. So, you know, pretty much say the same thing about the sub halfback. You know, from Falk to Vereen to White. You know, that player has been productive for us too. You know, over a long extended period of time. So, we've had good players there. I mean, you know, Kevin's Hall of Fame player, Patriots Hall of Fame player. You know, Shane was very productive there. James has been productive there. So, similar but different to the slot receiver, but we've had a lot of production out of that position over a long period of time.
So, what did the return of Dante Scarnecchia do for your team this year?
Yeah, it was great to have Dante back. Dante's a tremendous coach, one of the very best I've ever worked with. Could probably coach any position on the field. He's done a great job with the offensive line in every area. He's a good fundamental coach. He's a good technique coach. He understands schemes and matchups well. He's very good at game planning. He's very good at in-game adjustments. Does an excellent job in pass protection, with the protections and handling the fronts and the rush threats that we have, as well as blitz pickup. I mean, there's a lot involved there. It's tough. With the number of looks that defenses give you, and then plus the skill of the players they have rushing and so forth. But he does a great job at all those things, and he's a huge asset on our staff. I mean, I think we have a great staff. I'm very fortunate, the coaching staff that we have. But, you know, he put Dante up there with, you know, Scott O'Brien and Coach Saban, and his, you know, some of the best coaches that Romeo, and some of the best coaches I've ever worked with.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Phil.
Robert Kraft mentioned to the Washington Post recently that the two of you have had conversations about when you might retire, and I'm wondering if it's at all difficult for you, given how long you've been in this business, how difficult it might be to envision a life without that rhythm of the NFL calendar year.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it, Phil, to be honest with you. And right now, you know, it's all focused on this game, so I don't really... I'm looking about next year, I'm not really thinking about last year. I'm thinking about, you know, Sunday night and between now and then what I can do to help our team. So it's really where it's at.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.